very ancient Minhag Yisrael. It goes back at least well over 1,000 years. Recorded in Masechta Sofrim, one of the Masechtas Katanas, it appears printed at the end of Masechta Zara, a collection of prices from the days of the Gaonim, that the piece of Tanakh, the piece of Ksuvim, that we use to enhance and focus our Pesach, is a very, very, very mysterious one. The piece of Ksuvim that we use to enhance our Pesach, you know, is what? Shir Shir. So far, so good. The question is, what does Shir Shir have to do with Pesach? More fundamentally, what is Shir Shir all about? You read Shir Shir, and it's hard to even make out sort of the flow. There's a lot of conversation, but it never says, it barely says who's talking to whom. And a lot of statements of love, and then some statements of longing. And every once in a while there's a bit of drama. It's really hard to know what's going on. I mentioned that earlier, a couple weeks ago, spoke about the Hakadama of the Nesivos, where he talks about the fact that the relationship between a man and a woman is used as a mashal for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he pointed out that if you have a healthy, happy, holy perspective, it makes sense that a loving relationship between a man and a woman would be a great mashal for a relationship between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But still leaves us wondering, number one, what does this... What is the Sefer all about? And what does it mean? And the Tanam already were thinking about this. Some Tanam says Mishnayis in Yadayim, the second to last Masechta in Shas, the Masechta's Yadayim. All about? Your hands. Specifically, washing your hands. Specifically, the very end of Taras, Chacham made a Gzer Drabanan. Seems like a strange Gzer Drabanan first. If you touch Sifrei Tanakh, your hands become tummy. You have to wash your hands. Why? It's a side point. The reason why is because... the reason why is because people, some farmers had this idea that you have a lot of truma, it has to go to the Kohen. No Kohen around, you have to store it somewhere until you find the Kohen. So where are you going to store the truma? You got to make sure it stays tahar. You got to make sure no one eats it who's not supposed to. So there was this idea, which sounded logical. Well, the Sefer Torah is holy, the truma is holy, let's put them together. I already have a spot reserved for the Sefer Torah. We'll put the Truma in the Aron Kodesh, and that's where we'll keep it. So, sounds sort of reasonable. It would strike us as strange to open Aron Kodesh and find, you know, two Sefer Torah and a basket of peppers. But, okay, they're holy peppers. There's a certain logic to it. The problem is a practical one. The problem is that if you leave food around in Aron Kodesh, what it attracts are mice. And once the mice come to nibble on the barley and to nibble on the tomatoes, they may end up nibbling, Rachman Latzlan, on the Sefer Torah also. So that's why Chama wanted to make sure that people would not, how do you disincentivize this? How do you convince people not to leave the Truma next to the Svarim? The answer is, well, if you tell people, if you touch the Svarim, your hands become Tame, and if you touch Truma with Tame hands, the Truma just got ruined, that's a great way to convince people to leave the Truma far away from the Svarim. Okay, mission accomplished.
Or you could just say, don't eat anything by the Svarim.
You could have, but I think this is a lot more effective. It's often the case that just making rules works less well than actually having like built-in natural consequences. But then what's interesting is that whether something is metame as hayadayim becomes a proxy for talking about whether something is part of Tanakh. So you have some discussion in Tanakh about particular svarim, all of which l'maskana are part of Tanakh. Is it the way the Mishnah is talking about is Koheles part of Tanakh or not? Is it the Tameis Hayadayim? If you touch a safer Koheles, does it make your hands tummy? That's a nafgamina in is Koheles part of Tanakh or is Koheles, a fine book of Jewish wisdom, but not part of Tanakh. And that discussion about a couple of Sifrei Tanakh, and Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah, the Shir Shirim, no one can dispute whether Shir Shirim is Matamah Seidayim, Shir Shirim is certainly Matamah Seidayim, Shir Shirim is certainly a part of Tanakh, because all Sifrei Tanakh are Kodesh, and Shir Shirim is Kodesh Kadashim. holiest of the holy. Just the other night, we were talking about a survey of Parshas Vayikra. There are two types of karbanos, kachim kala, right? And kachim kachim. This is kodesh kadashim. It's the holiest of the holy. You gotta wonder, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? Yeah, question.
It's not surreal. It's just like on the
Tassi. Oh, okay. Thank you for your mindfulness. Number one, we wonder what year she was all about. Number two, we wonder what year she was doing Pesach. Number three is the following. The Gemara has a rule. And the Gemara's rule is, the Gemara says, Kahana, I think, said that he was, until he was 18, either 18 years in yeshiva or 18 years old, he didn't know the rule. He'd been learning for a while. He didn't know the rule until the Rebbe told him when he was 18 that Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuta. The pasuk cannot leave its Pshuto Shel Mikra, which means that while there are additional layers of meaning in a pasuk in Tanakh that you extract through the Midrash HaTorah, Gershon's, and Kavach Omer, Gzera Shalom, and so forth, that's true as well, in addition to the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra is a true, correct, accurate layer of interpretation of Chumash, of Tanakh. And then, not only Pshuto Shel Mikra, but also the different layers of Drash. But the Pshuto is going to be true as well. The fact that there are additional layers of meaning, the layers of Drash, doesn't mean the Pshuto is not correct. That's what Rav Kahana learned and taught us. The question is, where is the Pshuto? The Malvin has an incredible approach to Shir HaShirim, where he says he wants to explain, he gets very far, I guess it's appropriate, and he says he wants to explain, he says it's true that Shir HaShirim is a mashal, but he says the mashal that we're used to is itself drash. Says Rashi, you open up an arch scroll Shir HaShirim, we open up an arch scroll Siddur. Shir HaShirim appears at the beginning of a Kaval Shabbos. Many have practiced to say Shir HaShirim in preparation for Shabbos. Many have practiced to say Shir HaShirim at the end of the Haggadah, just reading last night. You quote, the Vilna Gaon apparently said Shir HaShirim, someone snuck into the room when the Vilna Gaon was done with his Seder. The Vilna Gaon was not a Ksiya Shereva. And yet, someone snuck into the room. And so as Vilna Gaon was saying Shir HaShirim after the Seder with such like incredible dveikus, they passed out. The wow. Fellow runs over, even though he wasn't supposed to be in the room in the first place. I guess it was a good thing he was there because he ran over and revived Vilna Gaon. So when you read Shir HaShirim, whether it's in an Archkol Haggadah at the end of the Haggadah, whether it's in an Archkol Siddur at the beginning of Kaval Shabbos, so what they will tell you is this all a conversation about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. So says the Malvin, that's absolutely true. So you have it's absolutely true that you have Mashal and Nimshal, that there's an allegorical meaning, but what Shir HaShirim means is Hashem and Klal Yisrael, that's true al derech drash. But the Malvin says there are two things we need to understand. It's true, Rashi. Arch scrolls are perhaps some of the famous reference. Arch scroll is based on Rashi. He says Rashi and Shir HaShirim is koyim midrashim. That's the additional layer of interpretation of the nimshal, of the meaning of the mashal. He says there are two more things we need to look at. That there's the nimshal derech pshat, and there's the mashal. He says the additional layer of meaning in terms of what Shir HaShirim is driving at is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But there's a base level of the message of Shir HaShirim, the Nimshal, of the Pshat, is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And the Malvin says, to explain that to you, I need to first explain to you the story itself. Let me explain to you the Mashal, and then I'll explain to you the Nimshal, the Pshut of the Nimshal, and if you want, you can look at Rashi, see the Nimshal of the Drash. I want to talk to you a little bit, just to appreciate it. It's gorgeous. He opens up Shir HaShirim, and then all of a sudden it flows. The story flows, the psukim flow, it corresponds to other Svarim of Tanakh. We'll talk about that in two different ways. And also, I believe, there's a Rambam, in the last parak of Sefer HaMada, who seems to understand pshat in Shir HaShirim like
the amount in question.
Is that simply a matter of family minhag for share shirim, or is that like, should we be saying it?
If you want to. I think certainly it's a mitzvah to help clean up after the Seder, unless there's more than enough staff who are more than awake enough to clean up after the Seder. That's for sure a mitzvah. And then when everything is cleaned up, and you could go to sleep, and you decide you want to stay up a little more for secrecy and trying, so you could, after the Tosefta says, you stay up until, continue secrecy and ashatach tefen oshena, until sleep catch, so you start to fall asleep, which for many people doesn't take very long. So you could stay up and learn Hilchos Ne'ela Seder. You could stay up and continue to work on the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or you could stay up and recite Shir Hashirim. All of them are great options. But certainly, that time is a Meshuvah. But Mitzvah Gemura is to help clean up whoever Seder you're at, to help clean up. Yeah. Who wrote Shir Hashirim? The first pasuk says the Shlomo wrote Shir Hashirim. Although the Gemara says in, it's not quite as simple, the Gemara does say in Bava Basra.
I was really asking
about the Gemara. Exactly. So you should all know you can write pretty nice. Find your Gemara Bava Basra, and Yudala and Beis Tezvav and Aleph is, it's important, a very important tangent the Gemara has. That's like the Sugya of Tanakh. Who wrote what order the Svarim should be in? Who wrote which Sefer? That's what the Gemara talks about. The famous discussion about Eov is there. A lot going on there. So the Gemara there, the discussion about the last eight Sukkim of Chumash, that the Gemara there points out that now the Shlomo, the Svarim of Shlomo Melech, were often the core, sounds like the core is written by Shlomo Melech, but developed more or edited or compiled maybe by his great-great-great-great-grandson, Chizkiyahu of Yizino. I don't remember whether Shir Hashirim is on the list. Also, Mishlei definitely is. Got to take a look. I think it's the top of Tezvav Ral in Bava Basra. Yeah. We are not, for the simple reason that if you want to get your hands on it and take a look, you certainly can. It is, his introduction is lengthy, beautiful, heavily poetic, and it's a Korah Aaron Lichten scene in a different context. The Malvus Hakdama to Shir Hashirim is a veritable thicket. Like, you might need to go bushwhacking. It's like such dense poetry, the way he writes his Hakdama. I'll try to give you we'll clear some of the bush away. I'll try to present the core ideas of what the Malvus has. If you want afterwards, take a look inside, you certainly can. The Malvus says, Nabuar Bosai, what's the story? What is the actual, not even the pshat of the nimshal, what's the mashal? What's going on? Says the Malvus, there are three major characters. The Dod, the Raya, and the Melech. The Dod is usually, in the English translation, the Dod and the Raya is the lover and the beloved, but it also, it's the boy and the girl who love each other. The Dod and the Raya. Great question. Dod is Dal Vav Dalad. Raya is Resh Ayin Yud He. Like Rahapta L'Reach HaKamocha. Raya is a friend. Resh Ayin, Reus, right? So Resh Ayin is masculine, and Raya, Resh Ayin Yud He, is feminine. The Rambam says, once you hear his approach, and then you open up a Shir Hashirim, all of a sudden things fit in. But to have found this pattern required an enormous amount of anil. He says that there are really three characters. Lavoi says the Chiddush is a departure from the way many Rishonim understand the Pesukim. He says there are three major characters in, again, the mashal, just the story, the story being told in Shir Hashirim. There's a boy and a girl, and there's a king. And this boy, the girl is in love with the shepherd boy, with her dod, but she gets taken to the palace of the king. And the king wants her to be his queen. But she's not interested in the king. She's interested in her shepherd boyfriend, who's out in the fields. Typically, throughout Shir Hashirim, you hear these references to the tzon, the tzilas b'kriyat tzon, because the boy that she yearns for, the boy that she's pining for, she has her eyes on the shepherd boy out in the field. But she's stuck in the palace. So what's a girl to do? So the Malbim points out that over the course of Shir Hashirim, there are basically five acts. And then there's a little epilogue at the end. There are five episodes, I should say.
five episodes, five times, this girl, this Raya, tries escaping the palace and running out to the fields to rendezvous with her dude. The first four times doesn't really work, and the fifth time she escapes, never to return. Well, I guess it depends if you ask the Raya or the Melech. I'm sorry, if you ask the Dode or the Melech. The Dode is very happy. The Melech obviously lost his queen. I wish we had markers.
Do you want me to go around?
If you could, that'd be amazing. If you could, that'd be amazing. So the Malbim already begins to work this into other Sifrei Tanakh by pointing out. By pointing out that the Tanakh elsewhere describes Shir HaShir, describes Shlomo HaMelech, I believe it's in Sefer Melachim, as writing 5,000 Shirim. Chamesh Va'elah. He says, I'll explain to you exactly what's going on. So usually so it means he wrote 1,005 poems. The Malbim says he thinks Pashup tries to reference to Shir HaShirim. There are five major parts to five acts in Shir HaShirim, these five episodes. And the last couple of psukim, from Ches Ches to the end, is the Shir HaElef. HaElef is like this mini poem. HaElef L'cha Shlomo, Masayim L'Avrim B'Espiryo. And that was nicknamed the Shir HaElef. So he thinks that pasuk is referring to Shir HaShirim the way that the Malbim understands Shir HaShirim. He says, I have evidence. There are five major parts. Plus the Shir HaElef at the end. So that's the basic story. Yeah.
Why is it not a problem that the Malbim has the Shatzos?
Why would that be a problem?
Aren't you supposed to like
their It's incredibly important, and the Malbim actually is a. It's incredibly important to learn Tanakh Beruach HaChazal. To learn Tanakh with a deep, deep appreciation, A, for the Kedusha of Tanakh, which sadly there are people who do not, and B, not only the Kedusha of Tanakh, but with an appreciation of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tanakh, gave us Tarash Vapeh, and they're part of the same package that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and Chalila to think that we should learn Tanakh independently of Tarash Vapeh. And the Malbim actually was one of the great, the Rav Shechter said to me different times, you want to learn, he feels like Malbim is a great first parish with which to, it's first time through Tanakh B'Iyun. Malbim is a major source of learning Pshat, Beruach HaChazal. An incredible amount of reverence for Tarash Vapeh. I am certain that he had, before he put together his own original approaches, he had already become well familiar with the approaches of the major shown in different parts of the Tanakh. But that doesn't mean one's not allowed to disagree. Again, also depends who you are. In other words, are you a major Talmud Chacham who's already... As in Halacha, learning Tanakh might not be quite the same. But as in Halacha, then when a person might come up with his own approach to Sugya, that's not the same as Paskin, like your approach to Sugya. Someone might come up with his own Teretz Akasha. Correct, correct, correct. And also, there's a difference between you're just getting started versus a person who's already an accomplished Talmud Chacham, who's familiar with the Sugyas, whether it's Sugyas in Halacha or Sugyas in Limud Tanakh. And then, with that basis, as the Gemara speaks even in terms of Psak Halacha, there's someone who's not a chacham at all, there's a chacham there's someone who's lo higiyah lo hora, and there's a chacham shegiyah hora. The point at which you're not yet qualified to paskin, to teach your own approach, and there's a point at which you are already qualified to paskin, teach your own approach. So just because the Malbim sat down and wrote the original pshat shirim, you may have original ideas also, but obviously at the same time the difference between me and the Malbim. Thank you very much. Wow, what variety. Awesome. Awesome. So, just to map out what we were saying before. How rational. Is the mashal, we're used to just thinking about the nimshal, what the Malbim would think of as a nimshal derech drash, right? The allegorical meaning, but only the layer of the drash of the nimshal. He says we're going to come to understand the pshat of the nimshal based on the mashal. I think I mentioned that there's a Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva, Derech Yud, who supports this. We'll come to that soon. Right now we're working on stage one. And Moshe, what's the story? So for those who want to work this through, if this excites you, that's great. If not, you're not worried.
All right,
I'll put it, please. Right. He says 1, 2, 3, 4. The 5 shirim go until Bei Zion. The next one starts Bayis Tess. The third one starts the beginning of Parak Gimel. The fourth one starts Parak Kei Pasuk Beis. And the fifth one starts beginning of Parak Vav, Zaches Zayin. The Balaam points out that the stories with this girl and the boy are not always the same. Each episode is different. And then there are supporting characters also, like the Benos Yushalayim. The other girls Yerushalayim who seem to most of the time be the people that are trying to bring the Raya back to the king, back to where she's quote unquote supposed to be.
Yes.
Sometimes she's more excited to find the dove, sometimes she's less excited to find the dove. Shear number 4, I think it is. Shear number 4 was. I hesitate to say that there's a passage of Shir that's made famous by the Rav, but there's a passage of Shir that's made famous by the Rav. Shir number 4 is the one that starts. No, actually, it's not Shir number 4. It's earlier. Yeah, it's earlier.
What do you want to start with there?
Yeah, it is Shir number 4. Ani Yishena. Ani Yishena Vali Bier. The third one starts on Mishkavi Balaylos. The third one is she jumps out and she's lying in bed and she can't sleep and she's dreaming about her boy, about her dode, about her boyfriend, and she needs to find him, and she just gets out of bed and runs outside to find him. And Shir number 4 is she is sleeping. I need Yishena, and then that's the call Dodi Dofik. He comes, she is sleeping, he comes knocking the door, and she was mafalpa with herself to get out of bed, to not get out of bed, and she's going back and forth, and she doesn't want to get her feet dirty, her pajamas, and tra-la. And meanwhile, the knocking stops, and the dote is gone, and in that moment, of course, she realizes, you know, what a cost she was paying for short-term staying in bed. And then she flies out the door, but she missed the moment. Each one is different. And then finally, Shir Hey, she actually successfully escapes. And that's the last pasuk of Shir Hey is "My Rabbim Lo Yichlu Chabosas Ahava." Even the greatest of warders can't prevent this Ahavas forever. And that closes with her successful escape with the dode. Says the Malbim, that's the mashal. That's the mashal. If you're wondering why it seems like there are discontinuities in Shir Hashirim, it's because these are 5 episodes. And each of these points is the start of a new episode. Says the Malbim, and now let me explain to you the Nimshal. And I'll present the, I don't think he points to the Rambam, but I'll present what the Malbim has to say by the Rambam. Rambam writes in the last paragraph of Hilchos Teshuva, really the last paragraph of Sefer Avada. He talks about the ideal type of Avos Hashem. The acme, the apex of Avos Hashem, not something to be upset with yourself, to be frustrated with yourself, you haven't gotten to yet. Because the Rambam says, this is like the Madrega of Avraham Avinu. Okay, so this is something to strive for, something to build ambitions around. You're going to hit your wagon to a star, you're not going to be upset that you're not yet at the star. But what was the Madrega of Avraham Avinu? Avoda me'ava. That's the topic of the entire last parak of Sefer Hamadza. Hilchos Teshuva very good, is to try to understand what it means to be Oved Me'ava. The Rambam there says,
A person is only Be'avi, that's beyond the previous prakim. He spoke about Olam HaZeh, Baskar Olam HaBa. This is the beyond that. A person who is just doing it because he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this makes sense, because this is the right thing to do. And it's real, it's good. Relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing better than that, nothing more lasting than that. And he says, and as a person becomes more deeply in love with Rav Shalom, Rav there says, a person who's in love, a man who's in love with a woman. Oh, I have the same from my mother right here. I happen to have a Sefer HaMagid because I was researching a Avodah Zarah Shaila, Halacha L'maisa. Someone called me last night to talk about how to destroy an Asherah. I kid you not. A real live Asherah. It was planted with Shem Avodah Zarah. The owner bowed down to it every morning, and now it changed hands. In America. I cannot tell you more than that because people want privacy. I don't understand why. They bought a house and discovered that it came with a real live Asherah. It's a mitzvah. That's right. Mitzvah destroys the Asherah. Do you make a bracha? What's the time limit? How about the roots? There's a lot of practical shayos that I've seen those pesukim. Hey, it never occurred to me to wonder, do you have to pull out all the roots?
How do you know when Asherah was?
There are religions nowadays that worship trees.
But what kind of trees?
And it's a very specific type of species that they plant for this purpose. I'm not sure. I haven't seen myself. Okay, but also same for Hamad and Kluzim and Sama Zara. We'll get to that maybe some other time. Gorgeous. Perik Yud Halacha Gimel Hilchos Tshuva. The Kate said he ha'ava haruya. What is this ideal ava? Listen to the language. She yehavas Hashem ava gedola yisera rabba aza ad ma'od. I don't know anywhere else where the Rambam has so many adjectives in a row. A love which is great and over the top and large and just so, so powerful. Aza ad ma'od. Wow. Incredibly intense. I should say, nafsho k'shura ba'avas Hashem. To the point where my nefesh is bound up with love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nimtza shoge ba'tamid. You're just like, it's on your mind all the time. Again, no one should feel bad they're not at this madrega. No one should expect to be at this madrega tomorrow or next week or next year. But this is the work of a lifetime, is to aspire to this. Ba'avasa tishke tamid. Your shoge ba'tamid. Ki'i ke'elu cholei, I mean it's on your shoge in this love all the time. Ke'elu cholei ha'ava. Like people who are lovesick. Cholei, the same idiom. Cholei, like sick. Cholei ahava. She'ein daitem pnuya me'avas osa isha. They can never get that woman off their mind. Who shoge ba'tamid. She's always thinking about it. In the shivto, in the kuma, b'shasho alcho b'shostem, you wake up when you go to sleep, when you're sitting and eating, no matter what you're doing, but she's on your mind. Yes, sir, mizeh, tia avas Hashem b'lei b'olva. A true oiv Hashem has a Kadosh Baruch Hu on his mind, or her mind, even more than this lovesick person has the woman or the man on his or her mind. Shogim ba'atamim. Constant. It says it's a pasuk that we read every day. The second pasuk of Kriyat Shema. It says, what do you think of Pasha Tzad? To be love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol lev, b'chol nefesh, b'chol ma'od means that love HaKadosh Baruch Hu ideally should be ubiquitous, comprehensive, everywhere, all the time. Who Shlomo Omer Derech Mashal. He cholas ahava adit. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. That was Shlomo's marshal. It's I'm a cholas ahava. I'm lovesick for you. That's what she says to him. Cholas. And then here's the final line of our paragidol of the gimel. The chol Shir Hashirim marshal hu le'in zeh.
all of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this idea.
Okay.
Just like the Rambam. Sounds beautifully poetic. The whole halacha Gemara. Gorgeous. And incredibly ambitious. Talking about spiritual ambition. To mamish have such a profound emotional relation, emotionally intense relation with Kadosh Baruch. Wow. What a Jew can dream of. And he said in the previous halacha, this was the Milo of Avraham Avinu. Ram doesn't specify tools. Some people may find music is helpful in terms of building this. Some people may find music is not helpful. Whatever it is. I mean, this is the work of a lifetime. It's not something that's happening overnight. And then he says, all of Shir HaShirim was a mashal for this. He says, very nice. But now think like a lamdim. One second. Do you understand what Ram says when he means all of Shir HaShirim was a mashal for this? Does that sit well with you? Does he agree with Rashi? Does he disagree with Rashi? What do you say? Come back,
Andrew?
Doesn't Rashi say that
it's
Israel
talking, like,
Hashem, like,
not talking to each other, but, like,
yearning
for each other?
Right.
Like, why would that be?
So
certainly
in the same zone, but, yeah.
And, the king is supposed to be representing Kosh Baruch Hu in a certain
sense? Okay, we'll have to figure that out very soon. Yeah.
That's what the thing is.
Oh, the Rambam, I think, put a key point. It is definitely similar. However, the Rambam is not talking about the love of the Jewish nation for Klal Yisrael. The Rambam is very clearly talking about an individual Jew who's reached an extraordinary madriga of personal love for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says that Shir HaShirim, the all of Shir, Kol Shir HaShirim, is a mashal for this intensive ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a person. Look over, the Rambam is saying, a Kadosh Baruch Hu and an individual. The Malbim says exactly that with even greater specificity. Yeah?
Why is this more Dafshan?
Well, that's it. The Malbim says it's actually even more specific. The Malbim says not only is Shir HaShirim again, I have not come across yet a reference of the Malbim to this Rambam. I don't know if he had this in the back of his mind, didn't have this in the back of his mind, but I think it winds up. So the Malbim adds a twist. He says, you know what Shir HaShirim is? Of course it's a Nimshal. So right away, Nimshal is not. He says, but there's a Pshat in the Nimshal that could be Drash Nimshal also. But Pasha Pshat of what you're trying to convey, he says, Moshe of Shlomo HaMelech, the best way I think to put it, it was a lyrical diary of Shlomo HaMelech's experiences with Nebuchadnezzar. Shlomo HaMelech kept, it sounds like he kept a diary. This is like a record of his experiences with Nebuah over the course of a lifetime. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Set down, instead of talking explicitly about having Nebuah, set down in the form of a story of a girl and a boy, the girl's trying to escape the palace of the king to get out and rendezvous with the boy. Here's where you have this counterintuitive mashal nimshal setup. Says the Malbim, HaMelech Shlomo, the king, Melech Shlomo, that is Shlomo HaMelech's body. The girl is Shlomo HaMelech's neshama. And the dod, the boy, is the mashal for Ribono Shlomo. And Shir HaShirim is this ongoing journey, odyssey almost, of the Raya leaving HaMelech Shlomo and Beis Shlomo to go rendezvous with the Dod, first four times to return, the fifth time not to return. Says the Malbim, the first four episodes are four different instances in Shlomo's life when he experienced Nevuah, when his neshama left his body to temporarily connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then to return. It says the fifth episode is the death of Shlomo HaMelech. And he points out, and this is fascinating, that what you see also now, that it's very, very personal. And the Malbim points out, not all the instances of Shlomo HaMelech's Nevuah were equally positive. Some of them were amazing. I mean, the young man just becomes king and he has that the famous passage in Malachim, he has a dream. The Baruch Shalom comes to him and says, what do you want? Do you want this? Do you want that? He says, I want Chachma. Baruch Shalom says, you chose right, you'll get the things you could have asked for, you'll get the Chachma too. And that was an incredibly positive moment. There were some less positive moments. After he marries Bas Paro, things are not doing so well. He is far shlofen. He's spiritually asleep. He's spiritually staying staying in bed and doesn't want to get his pajamas dirty, his fancy pajamas dirty, by going to the door to, so to speak, open up for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what you see over the course of Shir HaShirim, again, the Malbim does this in the Hakdam, gorgeous, like I was saying before, a gorgeous multi-page Hakdama, very poetic, and then he... and in the style of the Ramban, he gives it his Hakdama, and then pasuk by pasuk keeps referring back to the principles of the Hakdama. As you work your way through the pasuk by pasuk, he gives you a running commentary, like you see here, both a mushal and melitza. A running commentary on what's the story of the boy and girl, explain the psukim on that level of pshat, and then explain the psukim in terms of the pshat of the nimshal, what it refers to, what each line, each phrase refers to in terms of Shlomo HaMelech and Ribbono Shel Olam. And one of the important things that you see is this waxing and waning of the relationship. That Shlomo had his on times and he had his off times. And it was not okay to have off times, but that is going to be a part of almost every single human being's spiritual journey. There were times when he was jumping out of bed to go find the dode, and there were times when he was far shluffing in his bed and barely was awakened by the dode. And then you begin to also understand, number one, the choice of the mushal. In other words, it is true, certainly Yeshayahu and others use marriage as one of the common metaphors for relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But the intensity and like the degree of detail in the romantic relationship that makes up the mushal of Shir HaShirim, you understand well why it's very apropos to the individual person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also ebbs and flows. But certainly individual person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through its good times and its hard times. A person needs to keep the Shav Yipel Tzadik Vakam, as Shlomo HaMelech wrote in a different Sefer of Tanakh. Right? The Tzadik falls and falls and falls, but he's the one who keeps brushing himself off and getting up. It's usually understood that the Pshat in that Pasuk, Shav Yipel Tzadik Vakam, the Pasuk Kohelos, the Tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. Everyone falls, the Tzadik is the one who gets up. I think from Nachum Breslov, they say, it's not just that the Tzadik is the one who will get up again, but that the only way to become a tzaddik is by falling and getting up. Not that the cause and effect is reversed. It's not just that if you're a tzaddik, you'll get up again, but the way you become a tzaddik, the way you create your tzidkus, is by being tested and falling and getting up again and again and again. Yeah.
Just a question.
Sure.
The raya is just neshama.
Yeah, that's what he suggests. The raya is his neshama. And the Melech Shlomo is his body. He is a Melech Shlomo. But the Raya keeps leaving a Melech Shlomo to rendezvous with the Dode.
And part 5 is the death?
Part 5, right.
So, what's the
so he has a separate explanation for the Shir HaElef. Achos Ketana. Achos Ketana, I believe he says that the Achos Ketana is the appendix where it talks about the schar that the body gets after death which again according to most Rishonim accept the Ramban is Tchias HaMeisim, the body and soul are rejoined and then they get their joint schar. So that's the argument, the Achos Ketana at the end, that make sure to take care of the little sister. That's a reference to make sure that there will be schar not only for the neshama but for the body as well. Very, very, and it opens things up. It opens things up so much, and I think it makes Shir HaShirim a lot more personal. I mean, Shir HaShirim is about the great Sibur Dikah story, and the story of Klal Yisrael, but it's also about the personal story. I think many, I think it's not just the Chassidish Rebbes, but talk about thinking about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as a personal, individual story as well as a national story. Now, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Pasha Pshat is, you're talking about going out of Mitzrayim, you're talking about, you know, coming back into Mitzrayim, out of Galus, how could Hashem Baruch Hu save us? It's a national story. Maybe later we'll talk about Haggadah a little bit. We'll talk about some of the ways, ideas I've heard from my father-in-law at Seder, but ways in which you see does a lot of what's going on at the Seder is also talking about seeing the patterns, myself as Simla Banim, and seeing the patterns that already started in Mitzrayim that continue throughout the years of subsequent Golos and Geula cycles of the tradition. But it's also, but there are those who suggest that in addition to being a national story, it's also a personal story. As people go through their own individual Golios, times when one's distant from Baruch Shalom, and we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us nevertheless, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can pull us through. So the Shir HaShirim, the Malbim transforms Shir HaShirim into being not only a story of Kali Yisrael, but it's a story of one person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it's one person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then as the Rambam writes, it could be a mashal for my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, a lot of questions. I'll try to go in order. Yeah.
What does it mean to love God?
What does it mean to love a person? I don't mean to get all Socratic on you.
Well,
actually, I do mean to get all Socratic on you. What does it mean to love a person? So the answer is I think we've spoken about that, the mashkiach and the fish. No?
Yeah.
Right? Yes? No? Maybe so? I'll give you the quick version. I came across not long ago another version of this. This was said by the Kutzke Rebbe. So you have to trace this back and figure out the way I remember hearing it. Again, it was in a Musi Yeshiva, where, for those who do remember, and there'll still be a Chazara for those who don't remember. What was the story? It's Musi Yeshiva, Shal Shudas, walking through the dining room, and everyone's eating. One boy is eating his gefilte fish or whatever, herring, whatever he was eating, sardines, an incredible gusto. And the Mashgiach goes over and says, Yankel, you're really enjoying the fish. He says, Rabbi, I love fish. He says, you love fish? Absolutely, I love fish. If you're sure you love fish. At this point, Yankel realizes, I won't make any bad puns, he realizes that he's a little bit, he probably is saying something he doesn't realize that he's saying, and probably just got himself a little trapped. There are so many puns one can make, and I won't make any of them. But the kids, the Mashgiach, he's like, I love fish. I mean, I think I love fish. Like, I was sort of like second guessing himself. Like, what did I say wrong? I love fish. So Mashgiach says, oh, you love fish. That's great. So if I go to your dorm room, or I'm assuming they had a dorm room in this yeshiva, and so I'll probably find like an aquarium. Like, no. And you have like a fish tank, and there are fish swimming around, and you feed them every day. He's like, not exactly. You check the temperature from time to time, you change the filter from time to time. Not really. So Mashgiach says to him, what does Mashgiach say to him?
I don't know.
That's right. So Mashgiach said to him, you don't love fish. You love yourself. You enjoy the taste of fish. If you love the fish, you take care of the fish. One's not mechuyav to love fish. One is mechuyav to care about people. One is mechuyav to care about Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so, so to love a person means to care about making that person happy. That you don't have to be generally important. You should file it away when you think about friendships, particularly when you think about the woman who will one day be your best friend for so many healthy decades. And friendships in general should not be self. If someone is just convenient, that's not a friend. A friend is when you actually care about the other person's happiness and care to do the things and make the other person. Correct. So it's not like a Kadosh Baruch Hu has needs. People have needs. People might have physical needs, they might have financial needs, they might have emotional needs, they might have logistical needs. Right? And I can help them out with that. If I care about the other person's happiness and well-being, so I'm going to want to do the things that make him, that take care of him. I don't take care of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But again, like with every other human metaphor, anthropomorphic metaphor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's obviously within the ken of our experience, an imperfect way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay.
There are things that, so to speak, make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Not like make people happy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has values, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ways he wants us to be. That's what we learn from learning the Tamei HaMitzvos, learn the ideas behind mitzvos. So to do the things that, so to speak, make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, and to want to do that, even when I'm not expected to. Right. If you get someone a birthday card because they reminded you to get them a birthday card, it's a pretty it's a pretty schmuck birthday card. Right? But if I knew that person's birthday was coming up and that it would mean something to him or her to get a birthday card, and I went out, and even better, I didn't just send an email. I actually went to the store, I made time to go to the store, to go shopping, to look at cards, to buy a card, to write, to spend time writing something nice. And then I mail it, I deliver it. So that means something. That means that I cared about what would make the other person happy and invested myself in doing that. So again, the human metaphor is always imperfect. But to have an emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that I care about the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about. And that's why the Mesillas Yesharim says this very, very, very tersely. In his definition of Ava at the end of the Arkadam, we wrote many, many months ago. He says, to care is to want to do the thing, not just to do what I need to do, but to want, caring is gonna generate a wanting to do the things that makes the Kodesh Baruch Hu happy, and conversely, I'll be naturally upset if I or other people are doing things that sort of quote-unquote make Kodesh Baruch Hu unhappy. So it's more than just, I know in my head this is the right thing to do, that I ought to be doing, but it's in my heart, and in my kishkas, in my emotions, that I care and I want it to be right. I want it to be the way Rosh Hashanah wants it to be. It had a lot to do also with understanding that what Rosh Hashanah wants of us is ultimately that which is intrinsically good and right and true. And the Rambam uses that type of language in a couple of places. There also is Emes, and the Magen Mishnah, and the Hilchos Lulav, which used to be hanging on the wall here until it came down. Also is Emes, B'shul Shu Emes, Yasat Tov, B'shul Shu Tov, doing that which is right and good and real. And that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about us. The things he asked of us are the things which are right and good and real, and best for us.
What does it really mean to care about God, though?
What does it mean to care about persons?
That's
Right, absolutely. But I'm saying, it's always an imperfect. Again, we expect. Here's a general yisod. A general yisod in Jewish philosophy. And a lot of things that we can really wrap our arms around. But the every once in a while, there's a class of questions which is hard to fully answer. But personally, I think it can be intellectually satisfying to be able to have a combination of two things. To be able to understand the contours of the answer, if I can't fill in all the details. Plus, to understand why it is that I can't fill in all the details. So let's say, if I appreciate that... we're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu being Lamal Menazman, God is not bound by time and space. Now, I don't really fully understand what that means, but I can get the basic idea that time is a creature. If Kodesh Baruch Hu created time and space, it makes sense that he is, we would visualize again, spatially, that he's out, he created this box called time and space, that he stands outside the box. Again, that itself is where we're using sort of spatial thinking. But I understand the concept makes sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time and space, so he's not going to be bound, not be within them, or bound by them, or limited by them. And I don't fully get it, but I have the contours of the answer, and I understand why I can't fully get it, and that's because my intuition is the product of the sum of my experiences. So if all of my experiences have always been within the framework of time and space, so it makes sense that there will be, that I can think abstractly about chutz, but I can't intuit it, I can't feel it. I think I may have mentioned to you guys in the past. There is a, we exist in three-dimensional space. That's how we usually assume.
But for those who have taken advanced math courses may know that in the abstract space, the three-dimensional space means the set of three independent, the different values of three independent variables. You could also have a four space or a five space or a seven space. You can have a 10-dimensional space. All these abstractions are plausible. They have actually important technological applications also. The early versions of the cell phone required actually thinking the solution to how to, you can most efficiently stack 10-dimensional spheres in 10-dimensional space. Sounds pretty abstract, but it had important relevance for some early versions of the cell phone. Okay. But you can talk about it as we can picture in our mind what it looks like as you rotate the three-dimensional item in three-dimensional space. Right? I can think about a can of soda, you turn it this way, you turn it there. I can imagine in my mind, now I look at it from one side, now I see a circle, I turn it a different way, now I see a rectangle, or the two-dimensional projection of a three-dimensional can of soda. I can intuit that in my head. We could compute the what happens when you rotate a six-dimensional object in six-dimensional space. I suspect that you, like me, cannot actually intuit that in their heads. There was a mathematician in recent memory, the name is Roger Penrose, holding the Lucasian Chair at Oxford, who apparently had intuition, like intuitively think about rotating things in six-dimensional space. Most people can't do that for the simple reason that most of us have never actually experienced six-dimensional space. So we can think about it abstractly, but we're not going to have intuition about something that's outside of the sum of our experience. So if you read Flatland by Edward Abbott, great example of these creatures living in two-dimensional space, who for the life of them can't understand what three-dimensional, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to them. The same way four-dimensional space makes no sense to us. The same way, all the more so, Lachas Kama Kama, a notion of an infinite borei, a notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'malama Zman L'malama L'makom, we can understand it abstractly, but it makes sense that we can't intuitively get it because it's outside of our the realm of our experiences. So that's what I was saying before. There'll be a subset of questions in Jewish philosophy where you're not going to be able to give like thorough, complete answers. But I think you could be intellectually satisfied with the contours of the answer, plus understanding why you can't have a thorough, complete answer. So if you push it far enough with Avos Hashem, you may bump up against it also. But that's always true, and that's one of the major lessons of Tanakh. That's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of his days. One of the major lessons of Tanakh, all the human descriptions of Ribbono Shel Olam, anthropomorphic means when you use human form to describe something that's not human, all the anthropomorphic descriptions of Ribbono Shel Olam are meant to give us some very, very limited sense of the divine reality in terms that we can A, understand, and B, in terms that we can not only understand our rights, but even begin to try to emulate. So we can act in human ways, in ways that in some human, imperfect human sense, correspond to the divine law. That's what Malach Tudor. But this idea of recognizing the can't fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but trying to use human categories to have an imperfect understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a very important part of Avos Hashem, in terms of understanding and in terms of Malach Tudor. Yeah, okay. So we think about Avos Hashem using the model of Avos Ish V'Isha. And again, he points out that's the major message of Shir Shir, is when you love that girl, that's, and not when you really love the girl, not when just you have a crush on a girl, but don't really profoundly care for her. I mean, when you actually have a real relationship and you really care deeply about another person, now you begin to get a sense of what it could mean to care deeply about a person's role. Okay, we're never going to understand it fully, but that's because God made us finite. Okay, because we're broom and he's the door. So we accept that limitation. Yeah, he's remaining very patient.
Technical question. Does this mean that he was having a nevuah as he died?
I mean, when did he write the Shira?
He's saying it's just much he's basing these off each time,
I'm not sure this is something that he wrote down in advance. I mean, let's say by Yamos Shamosha. The Gemara actually had that debate. Who wrote down
the last eight psukim of the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu are clearly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That no one disagrees. The question is, who was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's scribe? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell to Moshe before he died, and Moshe wrote down before it happened? Or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell to Yoshua? So it may be something that's done. Shlomo perhaps committed it to writing, understanding what was going to happen before it actually happened.
Yeah, and the rule that he was going to happen.
I don't know if he was having the rule while he died, but his neshama left him disconnected from his body while he died. And for a man like Shlomo, that probably was it may have been a prophetic or quasi-prophetic, nevuah-like experience. Perhaps. Yeah. So what kind of guy around the room?
It's maybe not the thing I can't really understand, but if he was, according to the Rama, an intellectual experience, then why would it be the neshama that's having it? Why would it be escaping the body? Presumably, you need physical brain, have an intellectual experience. I mean, in terms of the mashal,
who says that according to Rabban Nevuah is entirely intellectual experience?
Seems to explain it as trying to like as understanding levels of Hashem previously.
Yeah, for sure, but I'm not a bucky in the Moan Ruchim, and particularly not in the part of Moan Ruchim. The Rambam seems that originally was supposed to be serving stuff in work in Nevuah. It does involve the brain, but I believe I could be wrong. It involves more than just the brain. And I believe the Ram talks about the person's faculties becoming very, very passive. And then you're opened up to Shefa from your bonus level.
What is Shefa?
Literally flow?
No, but like conceptually.
Messages, ideas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rama writes in one place that we don't fully understand what Nevuah is. He says, is Nevuah's Moshe in particular? I said, only Moshe really understood what exactly was going on. Now, Rambam does write in the more about the process of getting Nevuah and how it certainly begins with a very, very profound level of meditation. So that you're open, your mind is open to connecting to the, he uses different terms, I don't want to misuse them, but connecting to ideas, thoughts, messages, images that are sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating. But I believe, I could be wrong, he does talk about the person's faculties quieting down and becoming more passive and then sort of accepting this flow from divine. Is it large intellectual? Okay, that's what it could be. It doesn't mean, but Ram does write, as a matter of fact, this you should know, lest you think that we're very far from mainstream Sfarim. And what we're talking about is in the tour. Ram has language, some language like this also, and the tour is arguably one of the most mainstream Sfarim of the last 1,000 years. In, I believe, a Simon Sadi Ches and Archaim, when it talks about davening Shemona Esrei. It talks about how Shemona Esrei is supposed to be a focused meditative experience. And then he goes on to talk about the Mishnah of Brachas. And then you don't get more mainstream than the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Brachas talks about the Chassidim, how you show him. The ancient, the early, even for that, every generation had people they called Rishonim. When Hanam said Rishonim, obviously they meant the early time, probably going back to the days of the second base of Mikdash. The unusual tzaddikim of the early generations, Chassidim, Rishonim, Shachas, they would be waiting for an hour before and after their Shemona Esrei. So the tour writes, I believe, according to the Yonah.
6 hours a day.
Maybe 9, because an hour sounds like an hour. It sounds like a Shah before and a Shah of Tefillah of Shemona Esrei and a Shah after. Jeez. Now, what Shah means is a good question. I mean, Arya Kaplan, one place, the one in the Arya Kaplan Reader, there's a. Oh, this is such a wonderful collection, such an array of articles. It talks about the discussion, the Torah Ma discussion about how to write, spell Munsi properly in a get, which involved a lot of geography and anthropology and finding out about the Munsi Indians who used to live in Munsi, to articles about meditation and davening. It is one article where he says, if you assume that Shah is literally an hour, he points out that means that they said one word every 7 seconds. That's a very, very, very
profound meditative experience. The Gemara actually says, how did they get anything else done? They spend all day long, they spend on davening. The Gemara says, these chassidim rishonim who are genuinely, authentically, really so wrapped up in such an extraordinary davening, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yad Tishmaya, then the fewer hours that remained, they accomplished an unusual amount. Like some say, that Gemara says that the Gemara Bracha says a person is careful about Shaymikra Vechatargum, you'll be Zochet Arifi Marichim Yamu Rishosef. Zochet Arifi Zem. I think there's some sermon that suggests what that means is, it's not a lot of times people feel like, I don't have time to be my Rishosef. I have to be my Rishosef, I have to lose so much time. The Kesh Baruch says, don't have time. If you're my Rishosef, you'll get more time. Marichim Yamu Rishosef. You'll end up, you won't lose out in terms of time for other things. It will make your life one. But coming back here, so in terms of the tour, in talking about that Mishnah, Chassidim Rishonim, the tour says that they were these Chassidim Rishonim were involved in very, very profound meditation, and they were Magiyim. The legal language of the tour is, they got to a stage, or close to a stage, of hispashtus hagashmas, of separating from their physical being, the karv lamalas hanevuah. That's what this davening was. So nevuah is even more so, hispashtus hagashmas. Again, this is a tour speaking. That is what nevuah is. Again, we don't fully understand what nevuah is, but it definitely does involve one's mind being open to a message from Shalom. One or two final questions. You've been waiting very patiently, Zach, and Rosa.
So, have you said before that Malcolm's approach to Shira Shiram makes it more personal because it's talking about Shalom? It's the opposite because it's talking about someone that's not me. Something that's like I'm part of Klal Yisrael, so the Rashi's explanation, like, I can apply to my life. But Shlomo's explanation, Mom's explanation of Shlomo having Ruah four times and the fifth time, like, dying. Whatever, like, if you can't apply that to me, I'm not going to have it. So.
That's true.
Also, the Rambam would work better for us.
Good. So on the one hand, remember I said before that the Malkuth approach intertwines with many different aspects, with different passages in the Tanakh. And then what obviously he intertwines his approach to Shir Shirim with the stories of Shlomo that appear in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Devarim. Number two, you have that he intertwines with that reference, that pasuk of that he had the 5 and 1,000 shirim. And number three is, here comes another insight of Rabbi Arya Kaplan. He doesn't talk about shir shirim, but he does talk about ma'aseh merkava. And what he explains about ma'aseh merkava in non-Kabbalistic terminology is that Yosef Aviv in his comments in Sil Sharm talks about Masa Brashis, Masa Merkava, those of us in Chagiga, like Josh, this kid, those of us in Chagiga know that Mishnah Begin and Second Chapter of Chagiga talks about the major elements of Kabbalah being Masa Merkava and Masa Brashis, which presumably means, it seems to the Gemara, like understanding the first part of Brashis and the first part of Yecheskel. And as Yosef Aviv points out, your Ari Kaplan talks along similar lines also, Masa Brashis is Derech Hashem, Ma'aseh Merkava, and Mesiyos Hashem. Ma'aseh Bereishis is a study, Kabbalistic study, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia on the world, and Ma'aseh Merkava is a study of how a person, in turn, can grow towards Ribono Shel Olam, getting in Mesiyos Hashem to Kedusha and Ruach HaKadosh and Tefillas Hamesim, Karav L'Mal Sanagulam. And Ra'ar Kaplan develops this, that Ma'aseh Merkava really is a study. When he sees that Ma'aseh Merkava description, he sees all the different malachim, the Srafim, the Ofanim, the Kisi Hakavam, and the Chayos. He says it's really terminology. It's explaining the process that a Navi goes through when he moves up into a time of Nevuah. That's what Ma'aseh Merkava is all about. More than that, I don't really know. Not appreciated. But I will say that means you have at least three different passages in the Tanakh that actually talk about the getting of Nevuah. The diary, like diaries of experience of Nevuah, diaries of prophetic experience.
You have the Merkava of Yechezkel, you have the Merkava of Yeshayahu, I believe it's in Parag Rav, it's shorter than Yechezkel, and you have all of Shir HaShirim. Just thinking about the experience of Nevuah and describing the experience of Nevuah is a major theme in Tanakh, according to the Rambam. Now, I say in Rebbe it's great, but that's nowhere near me. In what way is this personal? So what I would say is two things, and maybe we'll close with this. Number one, Nevuah is not disconnected. Not only does the Rambam tell us time and again, he sees Nevuah and thinking and learning about Nevuah as a very basic part of learning about Torah, a very basic part of the system of understanding Torah. But remember, I mentioned Mesillas Yesharim for a reason. Mesillas Yesharim is, Rav Chaim points out, that growth of Os Hashem is a ladder. Sulam Mutzav Arza, as many have said about the Sefer, Ferosh Magi HaShemayim. The bottom of the ladder is on the ground. Anyone can step on. And the ladder keeps going until the top ladder is Mamash and Shemayim. And indeed, Parak HaVam Zil Sharam is up there. Right? In other words, so you and I might not get to Nevuah, but the goal is to move in that direction. Because that's the direction you're going. At the end of that, we don't expect to... Lahavdol Alfei Havdalot. If I start, if I decide I want to get into running a little bit, OXC is coming up. Everyone should be signed up for OXC, as an aside, if you haven't yet. So you do it for Pesach. And as I mentioned in the email, you will be raising money for all just by signing up, before you even fundraise. There are people who are giving, major donors who will be giving in proportion to the number of people who are participating signed up. So please take care of that this week. But let's say I want to get into running a little bit. So I might start to get into a program. You have to, a 4-week program, a 10-week program to begin to get to 5K. Now, I might be dreaming about, at the end of the ladder might be marathon. At the end of the ladder might be an all-night 100-mile run. At the end of the ladder might be breaking very serious time records in the marathon. I may never get there, but that's the other end of the ladder that I'm stepping onto. By beginning to train and get myself into shape to be able to run 3K, I'm starting on a ladder which, the end of the ladder, I mean, I get there, the end of the ladder is, 2.5 doing a marathon in incredibly good time. It's the same ladder. So that's the apex of connecting this devotion. That's number one. And number two is to recognize what I was saying before. That's why the Rambam is so critical. The Rambam talks about not specifically Shlomo, but just it's a mashal for a human being's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, Shlomo appears quite human in Shir HaShirim. In other words, Shir HaShirim, like Tanakh in general, describes the great accomplishments of Tzaddikim, and also describes the mistakes of Tzaddikim. And a lot of Shir HaShirim is about there are times when he feels distant from Shlomo. There are times when their opportunities come knocking, literally, and are missed. It's to see even Shlomo HaMelech, Chacham Mikol Adam, he struggled. And that's why he's writing, he's very honest in his diary. It's a very beautifully poetic diary, it's a lyrical diary of incredible accomplishment, but also of Shevi Yipul Sakhtam. Even Shlomo HaMelech had times when he was at off times. Stranger than they seem to us. So if anything, I'll be around. Again, not that you and I expect to reach the pinnacle of Nevuah, but to see that even in a great Navi, who's responsible for several Sefer Tanakh, he had his Al-Mishkavi Balelos and Shir Gimel, where he can't sleep because he's thinking about going to Shalom and he runs to find. And there's an Ishan in the air, and the heart is awake, but the body is sleeping. And when the knock comes on the door, the body overpowers the lathe. And the Shlomo remains asleep and doesn't come down to the door. It's very, very real.
Okay, so the Rambam makes sense because he makes it your relationship with Hashem. But again, the Malvin showing me the apex of the ladder, and that's great, but it's not practical. I was understanding was that it was more of a practical your relationship with Hashem. That's more the Rambam.
I'm saying, but it is. In other words, it may be a little more. It is to far more extreme lengths in Shir HaShirim. In other words, how far Shlomo can reach is certainly farther than how far we expect to reach. But the ebb and flow
and is sometimes feeling on and sometimes feel off, and sometimes right after and sometimes waiting for it to come to you, and sometimes if it comes to you, you take it by. That's all very relevant to us also.
That's existing without the perishable mahalo.
The mahalo really works it through the ground, doesn't give you the ground. Really goes through. Again, for the mahalo, so Shlomo is writing a diary of his own experiences. But his own experiences, if he reads a diary, reading someone else's diary, can be very inspiring. Because you may find many more. Again, if you take this mitanti, making the appropriate changes, I'm not reaching the madrega he was reaching, but I and my own madrega can have a lot of the same dynamics. And the coming and going, and the nisyonos, and the struggling, and the pushing to try again, that Shlomo Amalek did. So these are, again, and that I will say, we think about in terms of Pesach. The Pesach in general, if the Malka is Rama and Malka are correct, then perhaps part of what Shira Shira teaches also is that Pesach is not meant to just be, like we were saying before, not meant to just be, it is certainly the story of Klal Yisrael, predominantly. We said the other day, Karban Pesach is a certainly tzibur-oriented carbon. At the same time, Pesach should be, you know, trying to get an exodus from one's own personal limitations, one's own personal spiritual limitations. That's, and to think about the ways which sometimes the Kodesh Baruch helps me in more obvious ways, but the Kodesh Baruch is willing to give me Siyata Deshmaya if I try in less obvious ways. But these are some of the major, major messages. The major message of Shir Shir.
That's that very last line. So is that why we say Shir Shir on Pesach?
Could be, yeah. The usual explanation of Shir, why we say Shir Shir on Pesach relates to the Medrash. So the Derech Drash has to do with the story of HaKadosh Baruch and Klal Yisrael, and then a lot of it probably has to do, many Medrashim said a lot of it has to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim and Mamre Har Sinai. So on that level, then Shir Shirim is relevant to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It could be that for the Rambam and the Malbim, it also speaks to the sort of the personal reflection and refraction, to the individual reflection and refraction of the national story. Everyone has their own suffering, and everyone has their own spiritual struggles. And the Pesach is a reminder, HaKadosh Baruch was Goel Kai, so HaKadosh Baruch will also be Goel, a person. That's very, very important.
We have to do that for